you think they noticed?
What, the fact we weren't here for a week?
Yeah. Probably not. Morning, Nick. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all.
Enjoyed your week holiday from doing a podcast?
Actually, no. I should hold my hand up, I suppose, because it's kind of my fault that we didn't do it last week. I had a bit of a nightmare week with choosing the wrong contractors to do our driveway. So I apologise, everybody, for not having a podcast last week. We had these guys doing the driveway that were just random at when they'd turn up to do things, and so trying to organise anything around them was a bit impossible.
So it was an off-the-cuff decision as well, wasn't it, to get this driveway done? You usually plan things out, think it through a lot.
We did do sort of a lot of checks on them and stuff, and we looked at some of their previous work and all that sort of thing, but we didn't know them very much in advance. And to be honest, I was kind of liking... It's funny that it's a bit like if you outsource some development work or something, you know, I was kind of liking it to that. And we did sort of the checks on them to make sure that their work was okay. But what we didn't do is the checks on them to make sure that the sort of project skills, mm-hmm. you know, or the way they manage projects worked for us. And so they just randomly turned up when they could fit in, basically, which didn't work for me at all because I wanted to be there when they were there because, you know, various things I wanted to check and stuff. And so, you know, you'd be on the phone and they'd come around and say, we'll be there tomorrow. So I'd give you a call and say, right, we'll do the podcast in the afternoon, then we're going to be here in the morning. Midday comes around and they're not here. And, you know, and that's part of when you're like hiring a developer, you can get a really good developer who's going to do really good work, but then he might go AWOL on you for a couple of days or, you know, that sort of stuff. It's the same sort of thing, really. You need to check that out as well somehow. But it is now done.
I was going to say, have you got a nice driveway at the end of all of this?
Yes. I mean, they did a good job. The work was great. It's just, you know, just the randomness of the whole thing just threw my whole week out. And and to add to that, I told you as well, I had a support contract for a client, which it's an annual support contract and they pay in advance for the year and then sort of use up the time allocated into the support contract. And that had expired in February. And so I sort of said, look, we need to get this sorted out again. Do you want to renew it? Yeah, we want to renew it. So it was all, I knew they were going to renew it. It was all fine. And then they started to send some support issues through. So I sort of said, well, which PO should I bill this against? Because we haven't got a support contract at the moment. Oh, haven't we, Bart? Long story short, it had dropped off somebody's list to do. And conveniently, they just approved the PO that same week. And they must have been batching up all the support requests. I had all this driveway nonsense, which doesn't take up a lot of time. It was just awkward. But then also all these support issues coming through as well. So it was just a bit random, a bit of a random week.
So with the driveway, what would they do? Because like you're lucky in terms that you work from home, so you're there to manage and stuff. What do they do for people that work away?
They just do what they want to do.
They have that flexibility, don't they, to turn up whenever they want. So the people who are away during the day don't notice whether they're there or not, I guess.
Yeah, and they basically... the key thing is, I mean, it's really small stuff, really. Probably a bit of us wanting to be involved a bit too much, rather than most people don't. You know, we wanted a specific design on the driveway, and we wanted it to look right. So, what they said they'd do is lay out the bricks so that you can see how it's going to look before they actually put them in. And they'd done that, but because they'd turned up at a random time, we both weren't there to say, "Yeah, that's fine," or whatever. And so, I said, "Look, well, I'm not going to get you to put it in, only to have to rip it out again, so you come back tomorrow." And then they get all uppity about that because they scheduled it in for that day, and then they said they'd come back tomorrow and they don't, and that's what caused the problems, really. So if we'd have just said that's the design we want, off you go, and then just dealt with it whatever they did, it would have been fine. But so part of it is us wanting to be involved, but you know, there you go, you live and learn. It's done now, so
so how's the 30x500 stuff going along?
Slower than I'd like. I've done a few bits on it. Still in the sales safari stage, really, trying to... So I spent quite a bit of time identifying the watering holes, as they call it, the different forums and things. And for the sort of the audience that I'm going for, there weren't any specific watering holes, so I had to go a bit wider. And so, you know, find posts within bigger watering holes where other people are as well. And that took quite a while, actually, to track those down. One useful thing I did find for doing that is... if you work out what the job titles are for people in your audience, so you can go on job boards and search job boards and find those job titles, and then read job postings, you get a lot of keywords out of that.
Right.
So the sorts of things people are talking about in job postings are the things you can then go and search for to help find these places. So that helped a lot, but it took a long time. And not having that much time, that's pretty much all I've done on a couple of sales safaris. I haven't written anything yet though. I'm hoping to get an e-bomb written soon.
Oh yeah.
How about you? How have you been getting on with it?
I've not really been done much of the 30 by 500 stuff. No, I kind of got a bit bored. I think I said last last podcast, I thought I'd be really good at doing the sales safari stuff because I'm brilliant at procrastinating and mindlessly browsing the web and stuff, and I thought I'd be really good at that. But once I had a name to try and find out people's problems, well, there's two things. I found it, I don't know if it's just the forums I was looking at, but because I was looking at kind of small business online marketing issues.
Yeah.
And a couple of the forums I looked at, almost it was just like someone would ask a question and then all these people would just jump in trying to sell their own services, right, or books or all that kind of stuff. And so after a couple of threads of that, I was just dead bored of it.
Yeah.
And it was almost like people, I almost had a suspicion that people were creating fake accounts to ask this question. And they could then go in and jump in and pimp their own stuff for.
Yeah.
It's almost what it seemed
or
like.
Or linkbacks maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah. The thing is though, it's not, I know what you're saying about procrastination and it's good to, you know, you like reading forums and stuff, but it's not mindlessly reading forums. The thing is, you got to read it and make notes on it and pick out all these sort of magical phrases that people are using that will help you determine their worldview and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not as easy as just reading a forum. You know, you've got to actually put effort into it, which is difficult actually, harder than it sounds. And I mean, they do say it takes a lot of practice, and I'm finding that the couple I've done have been pretty rubbish, really. I need to practice it more. So,
yeah, maybe I need to set aside a bit more time to do it. But yeah, so I've got lots of stuff to go through. Having said, I've not done much of sales safari stuff. I kind of feel like I've had a productive couple of weeks.
That's good.
At least in terms of getting stuff to talk about on the podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, do you want to go for it? I've got some stuff, but we can...
So the last podcast I was talking about feeling burnt out, wasn't I? And,
yes.
Just decided not to do anything and try and get, I think as Ken put it when we met up with him, get my mojo back or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was funny because when I was talking about it on the podcast and, you know, looking at various other stuff, I was like, this sounds really familiar, like I've spoke about it before or something.
Yeah.
And so I remembered I wrote something on my blog about it actually. And so I don't really keep my blog up to date, but like, I went back to, well, it was like 2011 I initially wrote this piece. So I quickly did a search on my blog just for burnout. And so I put this post up in 2011 that virtually says exactly the same, or I wrote exactly the same things as I spoke about on the podcast.
I read it. You sent a link to me and I read it and I was just laughing.
It's funny, isn't it?
Exactly what you said.
And so I've had this issue before of either being too focused on the results or, you know, trying to control something I've got no control over. And even like the thing about, you know, being competitive and having a number attached to everything and so on. Because it sounded familiar when I was sending it to you. That's like obviously suffered from some kind of amnesia or something. And even the kind of action I was going to take of getting out on my bike and riding more and all that kind of stuff, because that's what I used to enjoy. It's funny. So I'm not sure what exactly I gleaned from this. But if I ever start talking about the same things again, you have to tell me that I've written a blog post about it.
Go and read your blog post.
And go and read my blog post or listen to the podcast about it again.
Perhaps you need to write a follow-up blog post, which is what you did about it to get out of it.
But it's obviously a reoccurring theme, isn't it? It was interesting because after having spoken about it on the podcast, there was a couple of episodes from Zen Founder. And so this is all actually, I've got lots of stuff to talk about it. It's all actually interrelated, some loosely, okay. Some quite well. And so there was an episode about play on Zen Founder. You know, not being so focused on the work all the time, needing to get out into the real world to play and all those kind of things. And so I listened to that again this morning actually to take some notes on it to kind of talk about. And there's a place in America or an organization called the National Institute of Play. It sounds like a great place to work for or be involved in, doesn't it? All you get to do is play. And it's saying about the importance of, you know, children are really good at playing, of like taking just ordinary objects, whether it's a box or a toilet roll or something like that, and just using it in fun ways and playing and things. And unfortunately, as you get into adult life and get chained down to the 9-to-5 of work and stuff, you kind of forget about that, don't you?
Yeah.
And whether play is, you know, interacting with other people or getting outside and doing physical exercise and stuff like that, it's something you need to do.
And it's like kind of like what you were saying in the podcast the other week, that doing stuff that you're not measuring, just doing stuff for the sake of it, you know.
Yeah, and so I highly recommend checking out that episode of Zen Founder. We'll put the notes, or we'll put a link to it in the thing. And I put a note here to, it's almost worth listening to regularly, whether it's once a week or once a month or something like that, just to remind yourself, you know, not getting so head down. And you do need to lift your head up every now and again, have a look around and get out and do something different.
Coincidentally, the guy that posted the question to them that prompted the episode was talking about going out on his bike as well.
So this is another one, actually. This is the second one about getting out on your bike and ride. So there was almost like a follow-up question to their play episode about this chap who, I guess he works for himself or works for someone else, but he's got flexible working hours. And I think he's paid by the hour, actually. And so he was saying that he takes a ride on his bike during the day every now and again, but he feels really guilty whenever he does it. And so I have this exact same feeling, and I think I mentioned it last time, that, you know, we are lucky in terms of working in software and flexibility and stuff, but when you do take time off, I still feel guilty in terms of taking that time off and having the feeling of, you know, you should be working a 9-to-5 working day and being chained to your desk type thing. And so although he answers all the logical questions in terms of, you know, he's not letting anyone down, He's not billing someone for the time he's not at his desk in terms of he's out riding his bike and so on and so forth. He still feels guilty, you know, taking that time off to look after himself and keep fit and go out for a bike ride and so on. And so it led to some more questions for me, really, around, you know, structured versus flexible working life. And it's funny because before I had the office down the bottom of the garden, which we are in now doing a podcast and stuff, I used to kind of be a lot more flexible in my working hours. So if I did take the morning off to go play golf, I'd work the afternoon and the evening time because my computer was just upstairs in the house, so I could easily nip up there, go and do it. But now, I am, because of the office down in the bottom of the garden, I've got this real separation now between work and life. And so if I did take time off in the morning to go for a bike ride, I'd work in the afternoon, but then not work in the evening. So I kind of do feel guilty now about not making that time up in the evening. So although this is, having this place down here has given me that better separation between work and life, I kind of feel like I've not been productive as productive as I should be when I do take that time off to, you know, look after myself. I'm not making it up in the evenings and so on. And it comes back to the, you know, we spoke about the miracle morning stuff a little while ago.
Yeah.
And so it comes back to that to a certain degree of, whether you want kind of a fixed schedule life or a flexible schedule life, I guess. And I get, I'd like to have a fixed schedule life, whereas I have a routine and all that kind of stuff. But real life doesn't allow you to get into that, does it? Like, I like to have my miracle morning of getting up at a set time, have my drink of water, do meditation, do some yoga, do my stretching, go and practice golf for an hour, come back, start work, and so
good
on.
Luck with being able to do that every day.
Exactly, right? So yesterday, I couldn't do any of that because I had to help Sophie take her car into the garage to get serviced and stuff. So I didn't get back till 9:30 and couldn't do anything like that. And that kind of thing, if I, you know, I'd like to have a fixed routine, but those kind of things that get in the way just kind of, if I was to say, yeah, I'm going to have a fixed routine in my life from now on, those kind of things would get me actually quite angry. And so I think, although I'd like to have a fixed routine, I think perhaps I need to go back to a more flexible thing of saying, you know, if we do have a morning off, perhaps do work in the evening or something like that. I don't know.
I found that with the miracle morning thing, I tried to do it for a while, not exactly what they were doing, but getting up earlier and doing something in the morning different to usual. But exactly what you said, it's just, things happen that you need to do in the morning that you can't that knock it out for a day, and then once you start to break it, the habit, it's easier not to do it the next day and so on, and then other things start to replace. And talking about these support contract issues again, it's great having that support contract in place because it's, you know, an amount of money I get and I know it's there already and I just have to deal with the support issues as they come through. But they really screw you up. If you get a support request come through one day, you know, you kind of may have a feeling for how long it's going to take, but you don't actually know. And quite often it can take a lot longer than you expected, especially if it's, you know, a symptom of a bigger problem or whatever. And so the support contract is great in terms of getting the money in, but in terms of screwing up your day or screwing up your week, they're really good at that. And that's the sort of thing that I struggle with routines is, I have to be flexible to include those things. So if I say plan to do something in the evening, like, say I plan to do my 30x500 this evening, and then I get a support request this afternoon. Now I could just say, "Sod it, I'll deal with it on Monday or whatever." But you know, I don't like having that thing nagging in the back of my mind, so I like to get it out of the way, and then I've got a free mind for the next time I'm working on something that I want to work on. And So I'll work this evening and get it done, and that'll knock that out. And so it's just about discipline as well in that case. But yeah, that's interesting.
But I always used to be a night owl type person,
right?
Like all through school and university and so on. And I'm tempted to kind of go back to that because now I do have this separation between work and life. And I don't work in the evenings at all, but all I do is sit there watching crappy TV anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of thinking, well, I might as well either the thing at the end of the play, the bike riding episode on Zen Founder, and again we'll link to it in the show notes. Towards the end, Rob says, I think he says he spoke to someone else about this or something, but he segments his days into three.
Right.
So it'll be like morning, afternoon and evening.
Oh yeah.
And he'll only ever work two of those segments.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And if he works two, he'll never work more than three in a row. So if he works in the afternoon and evening, he'll take the next morning off and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of more like, I'm kind of thinking I might work that.
That's an interesting way of doing it.
I don't want to sit there watching crappy TV every evening.
But there's another side to this, which is spending time with your other half and your family, you know. So if you're going to be working in the evening, I feel I have a lot of guilt working in the evening when I'm sat there working on my laptop or whatever, and Solana's sat there, and yeah, okay, it's just going to be sat there watching crappy telly or whatever, but it's spending time where you're actually not just in the room, you're actually, you know, engaged with your other half as well. That's a difficult thing as well.
So oddly enough, when we first moved in together in Reading, we had a flat, and so the lounge was, my working desk was in the corner with the TV in the other corner. So Sophie could sit on the sofa watching the TV while I was sat at my desk working away.
Yeah.
And so we still sat. So maybe I need to get a TV down here in the office and she can come down and watch telly in the evening.
Yeah, but it's not working away. But just sat there together in the same room isn't the same as sat there doing something together, like watching telly together or whatever. It's still difficult, I think, to balance it.
And there's more advantages to doing the work in the evening in terms of you don't get interrupted by other people.
Yeah.
Like, because most of the people I work with are working a 9-to-5 schedule.
Yeah.
You know, I have Skype on and I know I can turn Skype off, and I'm getting better at closing email. I have that closed most of the time now. But, you know, they can always pop up and ask a question and so on.
Whereas
if I'm working afternoon and evening, then you know, I'm there in the afternoon to answer any questions or problems that come up, but at least then I've got that period. And lots of people have that period in the morning, don't they?
That's what I was just about to say.
They get up at 5 and they have that period of from 5 till 9 or whenever.
I wish I could do that.
And I can't do that because of kids and Sophie and family and so on and so forth. So maybe I just have to accept that perhaps the evening time is better.
Well, I mean, I could probably manage to do that. I could get a couple of hours anyway. If I got up at 5, I'd get a couple of hours of work done easily before anyone else was up. But I just can't get out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know. So, you know, it's easy to do maybe a couple of days a week, but other than that, it's not every day. So, you know, maybe, like you say, you need to be flexible and have a couple of early mornings, couple of evenings, and then mix it up like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So the news for you anyway is this morning segment is my work thing. I'm going to take the afternoon segment off, so I'm going to have to kick you off at one.
That's fine.
Kick you out.
No problem.
No, I'm joking.
Or we could go down the pub.
Oh, that's a good idea. I was going to do golf.
I'll take my laptop and sit and work, and then you can drink.
I'll watch TV.
Yeah.
Do you want me to carry on?
Yeah,
I've
sorry,
got lots
yeah.
of stuff to go
through.
So
yeah, go for
you
it.
Can interject with any of your stuff anytime you want to.
Yeah.
So another good thing that I listened to over the last couple of weeks is Tim Ferriss show. Did an interview with Noah Kagan, and the actual podcast I think is only 2 hours long, so it's a long listen to.
I'm not sure if I've heard it.
So Noah Kagan he used to work for Facebook, Mint, AppSumo. He started up, and his latest one is Sumo Me, which is like tools to help build your newsletter and social sharing of your websites and so on and so forth. So he's worked on, you know, some successful businesses and started his own successful businesses and stuff. And it's a really good podcast, really worth listening to. But the bit that kind of I've brought out from this to talk about is MyFitnessPal, which is an app I've used before and Sophie's used in terms of counting the calories that you intake each day from your food. And the exercise you do, and you know, if you want to lose some weight, it sets you a target of how many calories to eat and so forth.
Yeah.
So I've used that before, but I only ever used it for the calorie counting thing. But it was mentioned on a show about, you know, checking the macro nutrition and also the micronutrition. I think I get it the right way. The macro is in terms of carbohydrates, protein and fat that you intake. Then the micro is in terms of the vitamins and so on and so forth. And so I was like, I've had this feeling of being tired and burnt out and so on and so forth for ages. Maybe I haven't been getting the right vitamins and minerals and so forth in the food I'm eating. Because I've never been a great fan of fruit.
No,
I eat a fair bit of veg, but you know, perhaps don't hit my limit level of 5 a day.
Yeah.
And so I started on Monday and was tracking all my food and so on and so forth. And I tried to eat relatively normally on Monday, you know, what I would normally eat. And basically low in vitamin A, vitamin C, calcium, potassium and iron.
What, you know that from putting in what you've eaten?
Yeah, into right. MyFitnessPal. So it gives you what the recommended daily amount is and then shows you what you've had towards that.
Right.
And I was like 10% of what I should be having in order those minerals and so forth.
Wow.
And so I was like, oh, crikey. You know, iron is one of those things, if you've got an iron deficiency, you know, tiredness is one of the things.
Anemia, don't you, and stuff like that, yeah.
Tiredness is one of the things that, you know, that... and so for the next few days, I tried to eat. So Tuesday, I had some carrots and scrambled egg for breakfast. And so the carrots, I hit my vitamin A level straight away, like only like half a carrot chopped up. So right. It shows how little you have to have of the right foods to hit that particular level. That nutritional KPI, as I've called it on the notes.
And does it matter whether you cook them or whether they're raw?
No, I don't. Well, cooking, I think, fleshes out some of the things, but I just ate it raw.
Yeah.
And then, so for the vitamin C, I just had one small clementine,
right,
orange. And so that was like 120% of my vitamin C that I should have had that day. So again, it's surprising that only one small orange is like enough vitamin C in it to hit your level. And so, you know, just small changes to your diet can make that difference. But... the things I've been struggling with is potassium and iron. I've eaten a banana and some other stuff that have got potassium in, but I'm still only getting to around like 30% of my potassium level. Yeah, so the iron one, again, been eating the right things that are supposed to have iron in, like kale and spinach and stuff, but you have to eat a lot of spinach, I think, to get the right amount of iron. And so I've ended up buying a multivitamin tablet and taking that each morning, and that does... The tablet's got like 130% of like what you need of vitamin C and iron each day. So see how that goes. But I'm still planning on eating, you know, some carrots and an orange to try and get the vitamin C the natural way. As much as anything. But I was really surprised. I know my diet hasn't been great, but I thought it would have been better than it was.
Yeah.
So it's interesting just to see those key vitamins and so on that I'm not getting.
I might have to try that.
And whether that's had an effect on, you know, my mental well being and physical energy or not, I don't know, we'll see.
Because my diet's pretty bad, I think, so I should probably try that and see.
So we're not having a pasty at lunchtime this time.
Oh no.
It's the highlight of your week, is it? Actually, one of the reasons I started my fitness pal as well was to, because, you know, we were talking before about drink streak and so on, was to obviously add in the calories from drinking beer each night and so on, or to hopefully stop me from doing it. And it did stop me drinking up to Wednesday, but then I drank some beer on Wednesday, Thursday.
What did bottles, that do to my
bottles of Budweiser have only got about 100 calories in each,
right?
Which is quite good. So four Budweisers, 400 calories.
Brilliant.
Go on, I'll let you bring something. You bring up a stuff thing. Well, stop me waffling on.
I was just going to mention I had a nice day off yesterday. Well, it wasn't really a day off, but it was a I went to a workshop about you know, my love of QT. It was a free workshop being run in Reading about embedded QT, and it was using a real-time OS called QNX. And I should have known, really. I was kind of expecting to get a lot of hands-on time with the actual device, because you went, took your laptop along, and you had a virtual machine, and you could borrow a device. And the device we were using, it was a Texas Instruments AM335X, which is... Yeah, it's got like a 4-inch screen on it, and it's a reference board. So the idea is, I didn't really know anything about embedded stuff, really, not very much anyway. And so the idea is, this is a reference board where you get all the schematics and everything about it. And so you use this to build your whatever it is you want your hardware to do. And then you take the schematics and say, right, well, I need these bits of this device. Go away and get somebody to design the circuit board and everything and build that hardware for you,
right.
And then you've written your software for it already. So I was expecting to get a lot of time playing with the actual device, you know, and writing code to do stuff with it. But I should have known, really, because it was there was a guy from QNX there who did a presentation in the morning and a presentation in the afternoon. And so like, they were about, the one in the morning was about what QNX is, how it works, and that, and took quite a lot of time. And then the one in the afternoon was about... the different tools they've got for building apps and how they work and demos and things like that. And then around that you had a guy from ICS who are a sort of QT partner, and he was talking about developing using Qt, and a lot of that I already knew because I'd already been doing it, and so some people in the room had never used Qt before at all, so there's a bit of introduction. It was good, I enjoyed it. I did learn quite a lot, you know, so I enjoyed it from that aspect. I'd like to have got more time playing with the device, but I'm quite tempted. I was very tempted, in fact, by the end of the day to go out and buy one and just start playing with it on my own, but I haven't really got the time for that. So I think that won't happen. But yeah, it's really interesting. There was a guy I met there who, his company have got a, they basically, I think they build radiation detectors for, you know, plants and power generating plants and all that sort of thing, as well as handheld devices. And something that they've been developing the past couple of years is a pipe CT scanner.
Right.
So the idea is this thing, it's like a CT scanner you get in a hospital, but it goes around a pipe. So you can imagine an oil rig out at sea or whatever. There's a pipe down the bottom of the ocean and it's clogged somewhere. And so they basically send a remote operated vehicle down there to with tooling to clamp this thing around the pipe, and it moves up and down the pipe to work out where the blockage is, scanning the pipe. It's fascinating stuff. Really, really amazing. And yeah, it was interesting. I'd love to be able to do something with this sort of stuff, but I need to find the time for that first. So maybe a hobby project, one of those that doesn't actually involve any, you know, we're talking about not having outcomes associated with it, just doing it for the fun of it. Might do that one day.
I've got a Raspberry Pi on the shelf you can take.
Have you?
To,
yeah, I've never bothered with one of those. Let's start with that, yeah.
How is the After Schools Club thing going?
Going well. I've, yeah, so I think, I can't remember what we talked about last time, but I've got a few people interested in it who said they would buy it. No payment, obviously. I don't know about whether I'd get them to do that, but I'm going to try. So my aim at the moment is to try and get at least a couple more people say, yeah, we'd buy that as well. And then if you get to around five, I think that's pretty good. And I've bought a domain name, I'm going to set up a website, and
so can we give it a name now? What's it called?
Not yet, because if people go to the domain name, it'll look crap. So maybe next week.
So why don't you just give a quick overview of what it is again?
Well, basically, it's lots of sort of childcare providers that run clubs or you know, any kind of school, after school, before school related activities. They've always got booking that you can do, so you need to book for the sessions, and then they've got, on their end, they've got to manage the sessions, they've got to have the right number of staff for the number of children, they've got to have all sorts of things like this. And all the ones I'm involved with, where I have to do stuff for Lois, they're all paper-based, you know, get the form, scan it, send it back, or send it in the post or whatever, and then you've got to do the payments separately, and it's all a bit of a nightmare. Now, there are some that do it, online payments and everything, but quite a lot don't. And so it's been frustrating me for years, and I finally got around to speaking to somebody about it, and he almost bit my arm off saying they'd want a system to do it. So I started to call a few others, and a few other people also are interested. And so I suppose I'm quite advanced now in terms of I've kind of sketched out what it would do and pitched that to people, including one council, and they're all really interested in it. So it's really good signs to say it's a goer. So what I'm up to now is, I want to get a couple more people say they'd go for it as well, and then five seems like a nice number. And then the other thing is that lots of people have said that it's all very well having something where you've got, so that's kind of a validation, having five people that want to buy it, but where you're going to find your next 100 customers from, you know, so, and how expensive is it going to be to do that? So that's what I'm kind of trying to do now with 30 by 500 thing and the rest of it. I'm going to try and use that to work out how I'd market to find the next customers.
Yeah.
And then if I can see how I do that, then I'm just going to go for it. I've been thinking actually as well about outsourcing the development work. I mean, I've started to do a bit of it myself to sort of get a sort of mock-ups of the screens and help me design the screens, because I find that a lot of the time I like to actually write the HTML and the JavaScript to make it a bit interactive so that I could see how it would work rather than just trying to sketch it out on paper. But yeah, I'm thinking about outsourcing it because...
I think you should. You're busy enough as it is.
Exactly, that's it. What tends to happen with me is I might have a couple of weeks of free time-ish and then something will happen, like, you know, somebody will want some changes to a system, and it's hard for me to turn that down because it's a system I've developed or whatever. And then all of a sudden that free time disappears. So it would be much easier if I spent the time on the marketing side of things and managing the development process rather than actually developing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not there yet, so I've got time to make that decision. And then I come onto that decision and then I start thinking, well, if I'm going to do that, maybe it's best to get it built in PHP or Rails or something.
Well, I was going to say, get it built in something that you don't know, so yeah. You can't get involved in the coding of it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be good for me to be able to pitch in if needs be. So in the future, maybe, if I don't want to hire somebody to do some small changes or something, I can do that myself or whatever. But then I can learn things pretty quickly, you know. So, yeah, I am definitely thinking about that.
Do it.
Well, it's going to be easier. I was thinking about this actually on the way up today. ASP.NET is probably what I'd do it in if I was going to build it myself. Now, there are loads of ASP.NET developers out there, but how many of them are enterprise-type ASP.NET developers developing web apps internally at enterprises, and how many of them are actually developing external-facing web apps? And I think there's probably more PHP developers doing that than there are ASP.NET developers, which... And it's a big difference, I think, because you can get away with a lot more inside an enterprise than you can public facing. So maybe PHP is the way to go. I don't know. It pains me to say it. But
do it.
Anyway.
I know from speaking to Herrera, our friend, that recruiting a PHP developer is cheaper than getting an ASP.NET developer as well. So
yeah.
If you're going to outsource it, you might as well go for the cheaper route, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not so worried about that. It's more the skills, because... I don't want to get an ASP.NET developer to find that they're an enterprise ASP.NET developer who writes shitty HTML and JavaScript, you know, which doesn't matter in the enterprise, but, you know, out in the real world, it does matter. So, I don't know. I'll think about it a bit more, but we'll see.
Cool. So I guess in terms of work stuff for me, VoucherCode's Pro, still waiting for a Google update.
Still waiting.
Well, yeah, interestingly, Google had made a little announcement. It's funny because, like, Google people go and talk at these search engine conferences or search marketing conferences and so on. People hang on every word that they say and, almost overanalyze it. But someone did say something interesting this week in terms of, I think I've spoken about it before, where Penguin and Panda were supposed to be running on an ongoing basis now.
Yeah.
And they actually came out and said that they're collecting the data now on an ongoing basis, but they don't actually run an update. Oh. It has to be a manual thing to run the update still. So we're still in the process of, if you get hit by any kind of penalty or anything like that, or you're waiting for, you know, spammy sites to get kicked out, then it's still a big manual twice a year type event. It's going to happen. So
it's a shame.
Yeah, so I was going to say some swear words about Google then, but I'll refrain. But in terms of the golf professional I've been working with, that's been going really well. I've finally got access to his Google Analytics account that he's had running on his website. And it looks like for May, which will be the first full month I've been working and helping him out in terms of doing some social media marketing and email newsletter stuff, we'll double his website traffic.
Oh, right.
So that's good. And that's most of the visits are coming from direct referrals, so people typing in the URL.
Right.
So I guess that I'm kind of taking it as an example of, you know, people finding out about it from social media and stuff and typing in his domain name more often, so that's good. So that'll hopefully be a good case study. But it's also led to some more thinking around the marketing as a service thing. And this is a danger, I guess, of getting one initial customer and thinking that's going to be the marketing route you'll go.
Yeah.
Because I think, as I spoke before, it's good working with Gareth, because he's a golf professional and it interests me. And so my kind of mind was like, well, let's go after these, you know, one or two man businesses and charge them, I don't know, £500 a month or something. But then you've got to get a lot of those people, haven't you, and manage a lot of different accounts and so on, or companies, to make that a worthwhile business.
Yeah.
I think I said the things that pain me are dealing with customers and so on and so forth. And so I was thinking, for every employee we have, finding them 10 businesses to work with and so on and so forth, and that's 10 potential businesses with problems coming to us. And so I think the market perhaps to go for is the slightly bigger ones that still, you know, have a larger turnover. So not one-man or two-man bands that have a larger turnover of, say, £1 million to £5 million a year. So have a number of employees but still can't afford necessarily a full-time marketing person and don't have an online marketing strategy.
Yeah.
So, you know, the work that we can do for them can be a bigger effort, charge them more and have less customers or less businesses per person. Or perhaps have, you know, rather than having 50 businesses, you know, go for 5 or 6 or maybe 10 that are bigger accounts and bigger wins. So we'll see how that goes. I've been working on, I set myself a goal this week of writing, so I'm trying to get a marketing site and page up and so forth for this. So I set myself a goal of writing 750 words a day, which
okay.
I managed to do quite easily in terms of writing some guides and stuff around online marketing.
Oh, cool.
So I've been working on that, which is quite good.
Can you give out the domain name for that, or is that...
No, I'll keep that secret for now on, because I'm still working on a site. I'm not sure if there's even anything up there. I think it's like a blank WordPress blog at the moment.
Right, okay.
So yeah, I would keep that under wraps, I guess, unless I've accidentally said it before on the podcast. Hopefully we'll see how that goes.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I think that's about it for me. I've gone through all my notes.
Excellent. I don't think I've got anything else really either. I think we've sort of pitched in bits and bobs as we've been going.
Yeah, the only other blog post I'll give a call out actually is from Tim Ferriss again. There's two interesting aspects to this. He wrote a blog post about suicide.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to go into any of the details or try and give any reflection on it, because it's obviously a very serious topic and I don't feel really qualified to talk about it. And, you know, I guess I'm lucky in terms of, though I've felt burnt out on a number of occasions, it's never kind of gone down the slope of depression and so on, which I guess it could quite easily do. But it's a really interesting read, and you should read it because, you know, around our age group, suicide, unfortunately, is the leading cause of death between men and women, isn't it? So, especially around founders and stuff like that, it seems, because you put so much pressure on yourself and so on. So it's definitely, you should go and read that blog post. But the interesting side thing is, if you look at the URL that he's called it, the URL slug that he's given his blog post is how to commit suicide.
So
he's put that in case people are Googling how to commit suicide in the hope that his blog post will come up on top, which gives, you know, a good perspective.
That's a really good idea,
And I know the title isn't how to commit suicide, the fact that the URL slug is that
will
kind of hopefully give it some Google juice around those keywords as well.
Hopefully. Yeah, it's worth reading. Definitely, I read it as well, and I think just bearing it in mind, it's another one of those things just to maybe read every now and again to remind yourself how some people get that way, and it could happen to anybody really, I suppose. So you need to bear it in mind
and
be careful about it.
That's it for me. I know that's not a very cheery note to end on, is it? But
it's all right. We're cheery next week.
I don't know. I was going to say to you, actually, about the 2-week schedule.
Right, okay.
Because I don't know whether it works better or not, because we've had quite a lot to discuss this week.
Yeah, we have. Should we see how we go next week?
Well, interestingly, because I'm away, not next week, the week after, so we couldn't do a 2-week schedule then anyway. So.
All right, well, let's do next week and see how we go.
Yeah, okay, cool. Sounds good.
Cheers.
All right, thanks.
Bye.